Welcome to our show. Before we start, did you know that you could support our show by pushing the patron button at our website, thebillshow.net? You'll be helping us pay the bills and continue to provide you with what we do every fortnight. Political insights and progressive news, including some of the most recent clips from the U.S. political scene. Just click patron at thebillshow.net, and for the cost of a cappuccino a month, you can help us maintain our show. Thanks. Now on with the show.
From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Bill Show. That's right, The Bill Show on thebillshow.net. And it's going into the romance period between Donald Trump and everybody in the world, assuring everybody that, no, he's not really crazy. For our entertainment, here's Randall Berger. Randall.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. I just wanted to say... because it's actually the 24th of November down here. Happy American Invasion Day!
Yes,
please enjoy the measles and the smallpox, and we'll see you at Standing Rock in 400 years.
Or they could, you know, like just have applesauce and stuffing, because you know America has so much to be thankful for. Really?
Well, yeah, apart from stealing an entire continent from its native people.
Oh, we're not
going to
bring that up, are we?
And killing 100 million of them with disease.
Oh, we're not going to bring that up, are we? Ticky-tack. Randall, yeah. Come on.
Well, it's still got... Look at Standing Rock. They nearly blew a woman's arm off with a concussion
water hose.
Grenade.
Yeah, that's in Dakota.
No, with a concussion... Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same. We don't want that pipeline near white people. Put it through the Indian reservation. Yeah.
You know, demonstrations. I hate to be a kind of cold water on the party, but yeah, you better get used to them because there's going to be a lot. Welcome to
Trump. Your friend Donald Trump owns shares in. The Dakota Access Pipeline Company.
Yes, and evidently, if there's a conflict of interest, there's only conflict of interest if it's not the president. If it is the president, there's no conflict of interest.
And when they looked at when they looked it up, they said that's another Trump lie.
Yeah.
It says in the Constitution that no elected person, including the president, should have any interest in anything that could possibly influence his office.
Yes, that's right.
So there you go.
The Constitution says that, but ticky tack, the Constitution. What are you getting crazy about, ladies and gentlemen? It is the transition time in which Barack Obama, for some strange reason, is running around going, "Hey, everybody. Let's give him a chance. How about this? No."
He hasn't said that.
He did. He's running around saying, "Hey, come on, you know, give him some air." No air. But this seems to be the time in which people are running around saying that a new psycho president should be given a chance. I was listening to David Brooks. You know who David Brooks is, don't you, Randall?
David Brooks, he
sat there during the Trump, late in the Trump campaign, when all this preferable kind of Republican candidates didn't win, and he had a coming to Jesus moment, in which he said, "I was wrong. I didn't know that Trump was going," and he's scary. Now, since Trump's in, they're changing their tune just a bit. After the horrific appointments that he's voiced appointments that he's made to his administration, this was David Brooks talking on the PBS NewsHour. I found this fascinating. Here it is.
And now to the analysis of Brooks and Marcus. That's New York Times columnist David Brooks and Washington Post columnist Ruth Marcus. Mark Shields is away, and happy Friday to both of you. So President-elect Trump, David, making these three big announcements today in the national security arena after we heard who a couple of people are going to be around him in the White House. What do we make of these choices, starting with the ones today?
Well, if you thought Donald Trump was going to be swallowed up by the conventional Republican Party or by Washington, you were wrong. He's governing, it seems, exactly as he campaigned. And the people he selected are very much in the spirit of the campaign, sometimes explicitly referencing the policies he took on the campaign. So I would say, A, they are going to be very different. We're going to have a very different administration from a normal Republican administration, let alone a Democratic administration. Second, I have to say they have good resumes.
Yeah, folks, if you're casting springtime for Hitler, yeah, they have great
winter for Poland and France.
Which brings us to our new intro for, yes, that's right, President-elect Trump. Here it is.
Here's an idea. So Mexico is sending lots of people. And by the way, they're coming from all over the world, including the Middle East. Why not? Come in. Come on in. We're stupid. We'll take care of you. We'll pay. But I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way.
Which, by the way, segues into our next segment. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in the true spirit of the dating game, which theme you'll hear right now, it's time to meet Donald Trump's cabinet. Ladies and gentlemen, we call it the team of crazy bastards. Ladies and gentlemen, first off the rank is Michael Flynn, Trump's new national security advisor. He'll be making those national security decisions, you know, towards other nations. He would be disqualified from a normal administration on multiple grounds. He is paid by authoritarian regimes in Turkey and Russia, as well as Russia's propaganda apparatus, through his private company. Multiple figures who worked with him, now this is one of my favorite bits, multiple figures who worked with Michael describe him as unhinged. And this is what the New York Times said. That's a highly negative quality for a primary foreign policy advisor. Do you think? the singular belief that lies at the core of Flynn's worldview is an indiscriminate hatred of Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, the new recruiting officer for ISIS is taking charge. General Flynn. Flynn takes this reasoning several steps further. He overly endorses an indiscriminate fear of the entire religion of Islam, said General Flynn in a 12:14 p.m. 27th of February 2016 tweet at Jen Flynn. Fear of Muslims is rational. Please forward this to others. The truth fears no questions. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, that's your national security advisor. That's it. And yeah, now he's a gorgeous boy. Next, ladies and gentlemen, for our head law enforcement official, we have the talented and good-looking Jeff Sessions. Originally, he had a political profile of a white reactionary Alabama politician in the old South mode. The Senate rejected his bid for a federal judgeship in 1986 over a series of racist remarks he'd made, some of which he said, yeah, I said them. Sessions called the NAACP un-American and accused it, yes, that's right, and accused, this is one of my favorite things, and accused it of forcing civil rights down the throats of people. Why is it that all the born-again righties are always use sexual imagery? Yeah, force those civil rights down the throats of people. And he allegedly called a black lawyer boy and warned him how he addressed white people. Yes, it's Jeff Sessions Unchained. Despite his rejection by the Senate, Sessions won election in the state, and his deep racial repertoire has since expanded beyond the traditional Deep South mode. He has enthusiastically embraced arch-restrictionist stances on immigration. He objected to the National Endowment of the Humanities because they were... Yes, he doesn't like them. Because they were distributing books about Islam to public libraries. Yeah, no. No, no. That's the good one. Islam, bad. Bad Islam. Yeah. You got to get with the program, Mandy. He is obsessed. My fairy story is better than your fairy story, and if you don't believe it, I'll shoot you. Yeah, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? Steve Bannon is Trump's chief strategist. He's going to have a room. Yes, he's the guy in the White House who looks like the guy who just asked you for a dollar in the subway, Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's Trump, we've talked a lot about Steve, but he's the chief strategist and has attracted perhaps the most controversy. The Bannon's ex-wife has testified to his hatred of Jews, which is always a good sign. His publication, Breitbart News, has promoted the alt-right. Breitbart itself defines the alt-right as a more intelligent version of the skinheads. This is Bannon talking on it. He said, there are many things that separate the alternative right from the old-school racist skinheads. Probably a full head of flaxen hair. Yeah, to whom they often are idiotically compared. Well, I didn't compare them, you did. But one thing stands out above all else. Intelligence. Skinheads, by and large, this is Bannon, are low information, low IQ thugs, driven by the thrill of violence and tribal hatred. The alternative right, they're different than that. They're much, yes, they wear suits. they wear suits. I think that's it. The alternative right are a much smarter group of people. Well, I'd be very careful. I think being a fascist is enough. I don't think we want to hurl that brickbat at Bannon. Though he does have a wonderful reputation for spousal abuse that is a bit of a chuckle. Oh dear, you know, we are going to get picked up at airports. You know that, don't you? Right, fine, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, well, good for you. Listen, we're going to now go to Trump University. Now, you remember that Donald was Trump University, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we wanted to talk a little bit about that because, of course, there were many lawsuits confronting our new president. And I hate saying that. Two of the major ones have gone away. Of course, the lady here, the girl who said that she had been raped by Trump when she was like 13, has been threatened and therefore has dropped her lawsuit. Trump University, though, has been settled for $25 million. And this is what Trump said after he settled the lawsuit. He said, I settled the Trump University lawsuit for a small fraction of the potential award because as president, I have to focus on screwing the country. Oh, I'm sorry. Focus on our country. So, no, he just intimidated the crap out of the girl. And, yeah, this came out, though, in the New York Times that was quite interesting. Trump gets $25 million tax write-off for the Trump University settlement. President-elect Donald J. Trump has agreed to pay $25 million in settled lawsuits over Trump University. In paying off former students and their lawyers, he is admitting to no wrongdoing. Yet, he has often said that he would never settle. The deal resolved several pieces of Trump University legislation and credited two federal class action suits. But the key is the real cost to Mr. Trump is after tax, not before it. And most business settlements are fully tax deductible. So not only does he make the suit go away, his lawsuit is tax deductible. So mostly he'll probably be paying just the $1 million, which is the penalty. And he won't be paying the $25 million. Good. Good. They are going to loot the American Treasury for so much. You have no idea how much looting's going to go on. And by the way, can I just say something? I've watched young Barron. He doesn't look happy. The Daily Beast came up with a list of the other places that are waiting to sue Donald Trump that have not been resolved. Would you like to hear them, Randy? Oh, we are. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just for your amusement, here are some of the other places waiting to sue the President of the United States. Members of Trump Golf Course in Jupiter, Florida, are currently suing the flaxen-haired businessman for $2.4 million for taking fees and dues while allegedly blocking admission to the actual club. A former employee of the same club brought a lawsuit last month alleging she was unlawfully fired and reporting sexual harassment by a co-worker. A hearing is scheduled in Chicago November 29th, isn't it? Oh, I know. He's going to be a busy boy. In another case alleging Trump's campaign violated the Telephone Consumer Protection Act by sending unsolicited text messages urging plaintiffs to help America get great again. In New York State, two open cases are making their way through the courts. Republican consultant Cheryl Jacobus filed a $4 million libel suit after she said Trump sought to destroy her career by publicly alleging she blasted him in the media for revenge only after he refused to hire her for his campaign. Jacobus asserts that she rejected the position and remained neutral in the election until Trump made disparaging remarks against John McCain. In true Trump style, the president-elect responded by calling Jacobus a dummy. And a status conference. Yeah, hey, look at her. Look at her. I wouldn't do her, would you? You know. And a status conference is scheduled next week in the case of Efrain Garcia, or Galicia, who in 2015 sued the then-candidate when one of Trump's security guards assaulted him during a protest outside of Trump Tower. Hey, get used to that a lot. And there's a video of the incident. This is not an exhaustive list. There may be other suits winding their way through the legal system in the coming month, but Trump's camp doesn't seem alarmed. Well, they should be. Well, I hate to kind of pour some thing, but the Democratic Party should be doing everything it can to delegitimize the Trump election. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party... Christ, I cannot explain the Democratic Party. This is off of... this is off MSNBC, and an interview with a head of the Democratic Party. Evidently, there's been evidence that there's been Russian hacking in Florida, possible Russian hacking in Florida, and in those states in which Hillary won. But this is their take on that, and I thought, yeah, where Hillary lost. This is their take on that. I found that this to be so encouraging. Here it is.
Hillary Clinton's margin has now gone over 2 million votes ahead of Donald Trump in the popular vote, a popular vote advantage that will not change the outcome of the election, which is, of course, determined by the Electoral College. Still, some Clinton supporters are now trying to mount a campaign to ask for an audit in key states to see if a recount should be ordered. According to a group of election lawyers and computer scientists cited by Gabe Sherman in New York Magazine, there is, quote, persuasive evidence that election results in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan may have been manipulated or hacked. Joining me now is Ed Rendell, former Democratic governor of Pennsylvania and former Democratic national chairman and an NBC political analyst. So let's try to examine this recount idea or audit idea to see if there should be a recount. If you look at the margins, Governor, in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and she would need all three states, look at that margin in Pennsylvania, almost 69,000 votes.
Is there any way that you could imagine her suddenly reversing that so that she would win Pennsylvania?
It would be very hard to do, Andrea, particularly Pennsylvania. Wisconsin and Michigan are closer. But look, I think since there was so much chatter about the possibility of Russia hacking the results, et cetera, it's probably worth someone doing a quick study to do the actual vote count and what the reports were. The statistical survey raises questions, but boy, it's a real long shot. I wouldn't do an election challenge.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do an election challenge. You know, they don't understand. They do not understand, Randy. You object to it all. You object every time. You object. You throw up obstacle upon obstacle upon obstacle. You have no idea how bad this is going to get. And the fact is, when you object to the election, you are starting a routine which you have to reinforce. That is to block him. Block him at every turn. Whether or not you overturn the election or not is in... It's totally... doesn't matter.
Bill, turn it around. Would Trump, if he had lost those three states,
yeah,
not challenged it?
No, of course
he would.
Would
he not challenged all 50 states?
The Republicans would challenge everything. That's what they've been doing with Obama. But it's this go-along to get-along bullshit that the Democratic Party is so at home with. And you're hearing it. And the last show I just played, you know, I played Can You Hear the People Sing at the end. You know what?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They've already started to legitimize Trump. You know, David Brooks is sitting there going on about, hey, they got good resumes. This clown who, you know, telling Andrea Mitchell, you know, yeah, we'll check it out. But nah, we shouldn't really go through the trouble.
Pence has just appointed a judge who's never acted as a lawyer.
Yeah.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
I don't know.
How can you be a judge and having never been in a court apart from being arrested?
You have no idea how bad this is going to get. And I wrote, we're actually writing now on the Daily Kos.
Yeah. And you're my hero.
Oh, stop. Yes, the Bill Show, The Week in Politics on the Daily Kos, wrote a little article. Oh, by the way, there's this one little thing I wanted to bring up. Do you know that there was a billboard that popped up in the Soviet Union, or not the Soviet Union, Russia. In the town of Danilovgrad in Montenegro, car passes by a billboard showing U.S. President-elect Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin placed by a pro-Serbian movement... placed by a pro-Serbian movement in the town of Danilovgrad.
Yeah.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. And on the billboard it says, let's make the world great again together.
Yeah.
So he's very popular over there.
Yeah. Well, he likes red. He likes red. So the red states, he likes that.
Yeah, he does. He does. Listen, this is something... ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to just, and I'm going to play some happy music behind this because you really have to play the happy music to get it. Ladies and gentlemen, he is going to be, when is Trump going to be officially president?
The 19th of December.
The 19th of December, just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
And let me just say, when Donald Trump is sworn in, he'll get a new address, but he will also inherit the tools he needs to bring American liberty to a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
He will come into the possession of the most technically proficient surveillance and security apparatus the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a little list of all the things that he can do to bring in what I think he'll do, which is a police state. Oh, Bill, stop it. Hey, listen, we've been right before. This is some This is some of the powers that he will have now that President Obama widened the powers that Bush already had post 9/11. So here it is. Number one, prison without trial. Yes, that's right. On November 29th, 2011, the United States Senate rejected a proposed amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that would have banned indefinite detention by the United States government its own citizens. leading to criticism that habeas corpus had been undermined. What does that mean? It means that if you're branded a terrorist, you can be pulled off the street. No trial, no lawyer. Now, I know you're thinking, you can't be pulled off the street for simple protest. No! Well, according to Trump's state senator Doug Erickson from Washington State, the people that came out and protested Trump's election should be charged with committed economic terrorism.
Yeah, of course.
So get used to a lot of people who disagree with Trump being called terrorists. The assassination of U.S. citizens. Yes, that's fun. In February 2013, Obama approved a legal finding that gave him a kill list that can include U.S. citizens. According to Glenn Greenwald and The Guardian, the Obama administration has not only asserted exactly that power in theory, but has exercised it in practice. In 2011, in September, it killed U.S. citizens Anwar Awlaki in a drone strike in Yemen, along with U.S. citizen Samir Khan, and then in circumstances that is still unexplained, 2 weeks later killed Awlaki's 16-year-old American son with a drone in Yemen. The new president will have the capacity to kill anyone, even U.S. citizens, if they are accused of being a terrorist. This is all done.
What were they doing in Yemen anyway?
Well, no, it was a drone strike on Al-Qaeda. But
okay.
The people who actually call you a terrorist, this is all done in secret. There's no trial. There's no proof.
Yeah, yeah.
It's who is called a terrorist. There is no trial. Suppression of freedom of speech. This will make you happy. This is high on the Donald's agenda. Donald has pledged to beef up libel laws to prosecute newspapers who write purposefully negative stories. You know, like the
Fuck Trump stories. Yeah,
yeah, you're not going to get Watergate coming out of the Trump. With these laws, news outlets will live in constant fear of incurring the wrath of the federal government. The press also has been cowed by the Obama use of the Espionage Act, an obscure law used in the 1920s to persecute possible communists. Under this act, whistleblowers risked life in prison or even death. Trump will have the power to gather the phone records of everyone, as revealed by Edward Snowden.
Yeah, we got that.
He'll be able to tap the phones of political leaders. Snowden also revealed that there's listening on phone calls of world leaders. Can this be done domestically? Of course. He'll have the ability to intercept and monitor all phone calls made in a country. Now, I didn't know this, but that sounds crazy. Sounds like a conspiracy theory. No, we're already doing it. The NSA intercepts all stores all phone calls made in the Bahamas and Afghanistan through a program they're running called Mystic.
Mystic. That sounds exciting.
Yes,
yeah.
Very exciting. And torture. Old Donald loves...
Oh, waterboarding, yeah.
He
likes that.
The torture.
He loves water sports,
he
yeah.
He loves the torture, Donald does. Trump has said in his campaign that he seeks to broaden the laws to allow torture, including but not limited to waterboarding. He said that we needed to do this to beat the savages. He also has... The savages. I don't know. Maybe it's a family next door. We're not sure. I think he's referring to people who disagree with him or people, I don't know, terrorists, whoever they happen to be. He has also advocated targeting killing the families of anyone who's labeled a terrorist.
Yeah.
Who can be labeled a terrorist? Well, anyone he wants, basically, because all decisions involving that designation are in secret.
Well, you know what? You know what? You know how they went after Hillary for using her own email server?
Yeah.
Even though it may have only been to send invitations to Chelsea's wedding or her mother's funeral arrangements.
Yeah.
Guess what? Donald Trump has been ringing world leaders around the world using his own telephone.
Oh, Jesus.
Using his own mobile phone his Trump Tower office phone, the gold-plated one, or maybe it's solid. He's been using that for the last several weeks to ring world leaders. And they've been ringing him. Like the Prime Minister of Australia rang him on a number he got from Greg Norman, the golfer, which was that phone that is supposedly just his own phone.
Yeah, you got Donald's number? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So all this shit about her using a private email server.
Yeah.
He's using a public phone.
I know.
God help us. I mean, really.
God help you all, because listen. This is the last thing I'm going to say, actually, before I go to a break. Evidently, the Nazis are coming out of their holes. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a group of lovely men who were in Washington celebrating the victory of Trump. This is a guy named Spencer, and he's a white mm-hmm. supremacist. Now, evidently what happened is that they rented it under the guise of having a party, a reunion. But actually...
And the venue was really pissed off and actually donated the money to charity because they'd been trumped.
Yeah. So here's a little tape of what went on in this hoot nanny. This is a guy named Spencer who's head of a neo-right, alt-right group that had a bit of a celebration because old Donald won. Here it is. And it'll make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Here it is.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory! No one will honor us for losing gracefully. No one mourns the great crimes committed against us. For us, it is conquer or die. The mainstream media, or perhaps we should refer to them in the original German, Lügenpresse. It's not just that they are leftist and cucks. It's not just that many are genuinely stupid. Indeed, one wonders if these people are people at all. Or instead, soulless Gollum, animated by some dark power to repeat whatever talking point John Oliver stated the night before. To be white is to be a striver, a crusader, an explorer, and a conqueror. We build, we produce, we go upward. And we recognize the central lie of American race relations. We don't exploit other groups. We don't gain anything from their presence. They need us and not the other way around. Within the very blood in our veins, as children of the sun, lies the potential for greatness. That is the great struggle we are called to. We are not meant to live in shame and weakness and disgrace. We were not meant to beg for moral validation from some of the most despicable creatures to ever populate the planet. We were meant to overcome all of it, because that is natural and normal for us.
Yes, get the armbands out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And do you know what? In the first speech that Adolf Hitler gave upon being released from prison after the Munich beer hall push, he said, "I want to make Germany great again." I want to make Germany great again. Does that songbook sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it sounds kind of familiar to me. But don't worry. David Brooks says they all have good resumes.
Yeah, well...
Jesus Christ.
Although that's a French word, I don't know what it is in the German, but...
Yeah. I like how he says the German, you know, and all the guys that have been sitting at home masturbating and reading all this pro-Hitler documentary, they all sat there and went, "Oh, it's a German,
The
Führer told us about those guys.
Are we going to have Trump youth? Do you think Barron is going to be the poster boy for Trump youth?
I think Barron is a very sad little boy. I'm very sad about Barron.
Did you see him standing next to his father when he made his victory speech?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he wished he was anywhere else.
Anywhere else, yeah.
Anywhere else. I don't want to theorize about that, but again, naming him Baron, bad move. Bad move, I think. But
yeah.
No one's going to tell. No one's going to make fun of him now. No one's going to make fun of Baron now. And
no.
He can be around in the schoolyard, and you know who the daddy is. It's Soprano.
Well, he's going to have Secret Service guys. So if you take a swing at him, you'll get shot by a Glock in the head.
Yeah, I know. Well, I wouldn't take a swing at him because he's a you know. As I said, I'm not going after the family. Yeah. I just worry about him. I looked at him and I worry about him. I think he's probably a nice little boy who's sitting there going, oh, why am I applauding the guy that is abusing mummy? Not that I have that idea, but I think it's probably true. Anyway, before at the end of this kind of thing, I did want to put in something that you got for us. This is Keith Olbermann on the entire
Our
friend Keith Olbermann on the idea that we should just give Trumpy a chance.
You know, all just we give are him a saying is give Trump a chance.
Okay, here it is, Keith Olbermann.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. What do we do now? This evil is unfolding, like it or not. It can unfold, and you can lie there, or it can unfold, and you can resist. There are practical means, things you can do. I intend to offer some in each volume of this new series, and we start with something you can accomplish by not doing. It is a week. We were asked to give him a chance. This is how he has wasted that chance. 33 hours after Hillary Clinton's concession, just had a very open and successful presidential election. Now professional protesters incited by the media are protesting, very unfair. The morning he was to announce his first staff appointments. Wow, the New York Times is losing thousands of subscribers because of their very poor and highly inaccurate coverage of the Trump phenomena. The New York Times sent a letter to their subscribers apologizing for their bad coverage of me. I wonder if it will change. Doubt it. The New York Times states today that DJT believes more countries should acquire nuclear weapons. How dishonest they are. I never said this. 68 days until his inauguration, still bitching about his paranoid fantasies about the media, still lying about what he said during the campaign, still referring to himself in the third person, still obsessing over one newspaper as if he were 15 and it had refused to go with him to the junior prom. Give him a chance? What? In the hope that he will someday grow up enough to be able to see over the top of the Oval Office desk? We do not have time for the White House edition of Celebrity Apprentice starring President-elect Pussy Grabber. Give him a chance, because we're all supposed to pretend that this is a normal man and that was a normal election. Because we're all supposed to forget that the Russians interfered with the election and the involvement of the FBI at minimum affected the outcome. Because we're all going to follow the Washington Post and call them populists instead of white supremacists, even though they are white supremacists. Give him a chance. All we are saying is give fascism a chance. Who knows? It might not be as bad as we think. It might not be a bottomless pit. This is not my president, and judging by the margin by which Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, at this rate it'll be larger than Kennedy over Nixon in 1960. This is not America's president either. And so we will resist. Each statement of substance or policy or intent will be met with one of resistance. Each action and event staged by this man who lost the popular vote will be met with protest by that resistance. Each politician whom he fooled with the charm from one of his other personalities, from the banana Republicans already lining up to lick his boots to the Democrats like this fathead Joe Manchin, will be rejected by that resistance. Since no Democratic or liberal politician has yet stepped forward out of the morass of Politics, Inc. to take on the responsibility of the resistance, I, with complete awareness of the presumptuousness and arrogance of this statement, volunteer myself, and I will gladly turn over all these burdens to any more legitimate and informed lawmaker or political or cultural leader who has the guts to take these burdens. I do not want violence. I'm not proposing the overthrow of the government by any means other than legal and political. I think protests should be limited to Washington, Trump Tower, and the Trump hotels. I have no pie-in-the-sky plan to have the Electoral College alter the outcome somehow. I will even acquiesce to a President Pence. Just get this man out of here! And I will repeat what I said last week. This Trump is a profoundly and proactively self-destructive individual. It is now our sacred duty to help him finish his self-destruction. If it is going to be him destroyed at his own hands or democracy destroyed at his own hands, it is going to be him.
I'm in league with Keith on this.
Yeah, nobody says it like Keith Olbermann. Yeah,
absolutely right. You can't wait for him to coalesce all this crap that he's coming out with about, you know, kinder and gentler Trump and backpedaling on some of his issues. Look at what he's done. Look at his appointments. Look at what he's set up in the White House. He's backing away from none of it. And
well, that's kind of scary because he's really digging his own grave.
No, I don't think so. I think that actually, I was very, very convinced the Democratic Party would do something to drag their feet on practically everything. And all the voices of the Democratic Party, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, are coming out on this kind of, well, let's wait and see. You shouldn't wait and see.
Yeah.
You can't wait and see with this guy.
Well, here's an interesting point. If, in fact, when the fat lady sings on the 19th of December, and he is not confirmed as president, if somehow they find 25 electors to flip, which shouldn't be too hard because a lot of them have come out already and said they would, and it is an anonymous vote, it goes to the House of Representatives.
Right.
Unless they vote Hillary Clinton, they vote for her because technically the Democrats will be voting for her in the election, the Electoral College election on the 19th of December. But if it goes to the House of Representatives, which has a majority of Republicans, will they all actually vote for Trump?
Oh, yeah, they will. I'm not saying that we'd be able to overturn it. What I'm saying is you throw every obstruction at him you can.
Yeah. But it is an obstruction. If he's not confirmed by the Electoral College, he's obstructed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's absolutely right. But I'm not saying that that'll happen. It shouldn't make any difference whether you have a chance of doing it or not. Recall the way the obstruction worked on Obama. They just threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. This is not the time to play nice. You have a guy who is literally a narcissistic sociopath with fascistic tendencies.
Yeah.
Who is populating his cabinet with racists, with people who are literally in charge of foreign policy and is unhinged. He had Romney over there to talk about being Secretary of State. Let me tell you something. I'll bet right now, Romney is not going to be Secretary of State. That's not happening.
He wouldn't agree to it, would he?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that everybody's saying, well, we can control him. We've heard that before. That's not going to happen. It's a charm offensive that they're doing right now until he can get sworn in. Because the only thing they want to do is clear the way for him to get sworn in. As soon as he gets sworn in, folks, you're going to see a vastly different America. And I'll be glad to know if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
I don't think you are. If he gets sworn in...
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really strange.
It will be.
They're already talking about taking on Elon Musk and all of the work he does on, the space program and all the work he does on electric vehicles. You think George Bush killing the electric car in 2002 was bad?
Yeah.
Wait till we see what happens if he takes on Elon Musk and Tesla.
What he's going to do to climate change is actually an endangerment to every person on this planet.
Yeah.
You cannot wait to figure out if he's serious or not. And well, on that note, I've gone on far too long, as usual.
It's got your name on it, Bill.
It does, and I hope you've stayed with us. Listen, we'll be... Thank you. We'll be back after a break with Randy's Rant, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in just 1 second.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
I am so damn tired of trying to see it from the other side. I'm trying to discuss nuance while they paint us and our candidates with the broadest of hateful brushes. I'm tired of pretending like it's somehow reasonable to teach creationism in public schools with my tax dollars, while you tell me that two same-sex people who love each other getting married somehow threatens your marriage. If you voted for Trump, I am tired of trying to see things your way while you sit in your holier-than-thou churches slash white power meetups refusing to see things mine. Did I just lump you in with white supremacists? No, you did that to yourselves. You voted for the same candidate as the KKK. You voted for a candidate endorsed by the KKK. For the rest of your life, you have to know that you voted the same way as the KKK. Does that feel good to you? Here's a hint. It really shouldn't, especially if you call yourself a Christian. I'm tired of pussyfooting around what offends your morals while couching what offends mine. Because racism and homophobia and misogyny and xenophobia offend mine. Let me say it right here. If you voted for Trump, I do think you're a racist. I do think you're homophobic. I do think you're a misogynist. Racism and homophobia and misogyny are all a spectrum, and you're on it. Don't like getting painted with the broad brush of racism? Now you know what it feels like when you get told that you want to rip a baby out of a mother's womb at 9 months, when that's not what happens. That's never what happens. I tried to be polite, but now I just don't give a damn. Because let's be honest, we don't live in polite America anymore. We live in grab 'em by the pussy America now. So thank you for that. Being polite was exhausting. And don't come at me with how you just didn't like Hillary. This was bigger than Hillary. This wasn't your standard, I just want lower taxes and smaller government Republican. We had Germans warning us that this guy was scary. And still you cried emails or Benghazi or that voice. And still there's been mountains of evidence proving that nothing that you think Hillary did was that big of a deal or even true. Some of the finest minds in the world have drawn you graphs and charts proving that no crimes were actually committed and you were either too dumb or too willfully ignorant to care. And if you really cared about crimes, you'd care about any of the three pending against your candidate. Take your pick. I'd start with the rape of the 13-year-old girl, but if you voted for Trump, you probably don't care much what happens to women. Doesn't matter anyway. She received so many death threats from your political peers that she dropped the charges. But ask me again why more women don't come forward. And speaking of smaller government and lower taxes, enjoy not getting mine. If Trump actually does what he says he's going to do, then your petty backward state and your small angry towns can pay for your own schools to not educate your children. I live in California, the largest economy in the United States and the sixth largest in the world. We'll be fine. But have fun affording all those children your health insurance won't pay for your birth control to prevent. I'm just kidding. You're not going to have insurance. Won't that be just great again? The truth is that for those of us on this side, there is no when all this is over. Things are just getting started. We think last Wednesday was bad. We don't know what bad is yet. This isn't something you get over. This is something you endure. We are going to face attacks on every right we fought the last 60 years to gain. The deck is so stacked against us, we may not win. The best we can hope for is gridlock. And that's just nationally. Internationally, who the fuck knows what this lunatic is going to do? And the scarier thought is that the only thing worse than this guy is the guy who's one angry tweet away from the presidency, Mike Pence, advocate for gay conversion therapy and mandatory funerals for fetuses. So now's the time you might want to see things from my side. Because if we're all going to have to be friends after this, imagine me having to be polite and respect your vote to take away my rights and freedoms and those of my friends while we fight desperately to try to hang on to them. Because that is what you did.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Let's all gather round. Mickey's the wild wonder.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's rant time. And Randy.
And I'm ranting. I'm a raving loony. I'm a member of the Raving Loony Party. Remember the Raving Loony Party?
I do. Yeah.
From Monty Python. And what was the other one? We had the Ferret Party from the Nation Review.
Yeah.
With Loonig's little ferret. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember that.
Next election, course, I'm voting for the Ferret Party. I'm definitely voting for the Ferret Party.
Absolutely. Okay, here's me and I'm ranting.
Go, mate.
Okay, listen, you and I, we're actors. We're both actors. We have a background in the theater.
We do.
We're thespians. That there's anything wrong with that.
Yes.
Thespians. Anyway, we had a funny thing happen during the week.
What?
As you know, you mentioned it earlier in the show, the vice president, the guy that could be the vice president, Mike Pence, former governor of Indiana and several term senator from Indiana. So a man who actually has elected experience, even though he's an asshole.
Yeah, he has a bit of experience doing that. Do you know that Mike Pence, really, not many people know this, Mike Pence, the vice president-elect of the United States, has said that he doesn't believe smoking kills people.
No, of course it doesn't.
Which,
even though Indiana has no tobacco industry.
Yeah, that's right. I think he should take it up immediately then.
Oh, yeah. As our friend Ms. Rafferty said earlier, that he's the guy who wants, no rights for gay people and all aborted fetuses to have their own funeral.
That's right. Good on him.
So, who was this woman, by the way? We should back announce who that was. It was a very
statement. Teresa Rafferty. She's a comedian, and Tess Rafferty. She just decided to do that and put it up on Facebook. It's actually a video of her in a recording studio, so there's nothing else to see here. But it's just gone completely viral because she said what everyone else is thinking.
That's right.
About why did you vote for this idiot and his his second banana. Anyway, Mike Pence, who actually, for all his weird beliefs, doesn't sound like a totally irrational guy.
No.
Went to see, took his daughter and her cousins to see a Broadway musical called Hamilton.
I guess,
yeah, it's a wonderful show about Alexander Hamilton and, the guy on the $10 note and a lot of the people in the American Revolution and who established America and wrote the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. So he takes him along. He walks into the theater and gets booed by the audience.
Yeah.
They actually start booing him.
Yeah.
Some clap, some boo. Anyway, so after the show, and it is quite a long show, and it is quite, it's a totally sung through rap musical.
Yeah.
A hip-hop musical.
It's the kind of musical you think that Pence would immediately go to if Oklahoma wasn't playing.
If Oklahoma wasn't playing, he'd go and see Hamilton.
A rap musical,
And anyway, so what happened was is at the end they came out and gave a curtain speech.
Yes.
The guy playing Aaron Burr gave a curtain speech.
Yeah.
And we'll hear a little bit of that in a minute. Anyway, immediately, the tweeter elect Donald Trump gets on and says, "You were rude to the vice president, a decent man.
Yeah.
You should apologize. The theater should be a safe place." Said no one. Said no one, including Abraham Lincoln.
Yes,
the theater should be a safe place. And so this went on and on and on and on and on. Here, let's have a listen to the. The curtain speech that was delivered to the Hamilton cast.
Here it
by
is.
The Hamilton cast to Mike Pence.
Here it is. Basically infringing Mr. Pence's safe space, the cast of Hamilton.
You know, we had a guest in the audience this evening. And Vice President-elect Pence, I see you walking out, but I hope you will hear us just a few more moments. There's nothing to boo here, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to boo here. We're all here sharing a story of love. We have a message for you, sir, and we hope that you will hear us out. And I encourage everybody to pull out your phones and tweet and post, because this message needs to be spread far and wide, okay? Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you, and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Musical. We really do. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us. Again, we truly thank you for sharing this wonderful American story told by a diverse group of men, women of different colors, creeds, and orientations.
Now, this musical, Hamilton, is written by a Puerto Rican whom Trump wants to deport, even though Puerto Rico is an American territory. But most of the cast are black, Latino, gay, whatever. They yes. are an incredibly diverse group of people. In fact, the guy playing Hamilton now, who's taken over from Lin-Manuel Miranda, is actually a HIV positive, a black man, a Latino. So anyway,
right.
the point is that they're
so we're looking at Pence's base audience here.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, people who love him. Yeah, yeah.
So Trump goes nuts, and
yes.
people start calling for a boycott of Hamilton. Yeah. But as you'll hear Stephen Colbert say in a minute, how can you boycott something that you cannot get? Because the thing is booked out for the next 10 yeah. years.
Good luck getting tickets.
Good luck not getting tickets.
Yeah, I have to sell some of your bedroom sheets to get the tickets, mate.
Oh, no, I have friends who've gone to see it, but they did book an awful long way in advance. Or they were at hotels that had house seats. But anyway, so Trump goes ballistic. All of the Trump fans go ballistic. All of the neo-Nazis go ballistic and protest. And at one of the road shows, I think in Chicago, one of the road companies, somebody got up and hurled abuse at the cast. So they caused this huge controversy, which can only ever improve the chances of selling out.
That's right.
Finally,
can I just add one little thing?
Yeah.
There was immediately a Twitter, attack throughout the social media by all the Trumpsters that we should boycott Hamilton.
Yeah.
And there's a small theater called the Hamilton Theater.
Yeah.
And suddenly they were getting hate mail because they thought that the theater was Hamilton. So if your name happens to be Hamilton,
it's
even
not
if your person name Hamilton.
It's not
get
you.
Get used to getting some shit.
Well, because you know what? There's a Randall Theater here in Melbourne. And and I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, well, you're responsible for everything. If
I'm ever boycotted, the poor people over there at the theater in South Yarra, the Randall Theater, it's going to, you know. Okay, so finally somebody asked Mike Pence.
Yes.
So here's his response.
Yes.
When somebody asked him, were you offended by the curtain speech? And apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play?
How was the play?
So let's have a listen to Mike Pence and his response.
Righto.
Finally, I've got about a minute left, and I got to ask you about the subject everybody is talking about today. You know what it is, and that is the fact that you went to see the Broadway musical Hamilton on Friday night. And afterwards, the cast addressed you as you were walking out of the theater about their concerns as to whether Mr. Trump will protect diversity in our nation. Here he is.
We truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us.
Now, Saturday morning, Mr. Trump tweeted this. The cast of Hamilton was very rude last night to a very good man, Mike Pence. Apologize. And he tweeted about it again at 6:23 this morning. Governor, what did you think of the cast comments, and did you consider it rude?
Well, first off, my daughter and I and her cousins really enjoyed the show. Hamilton is just an incredible production, and incredibly talented people, and it was a real joy to be there. And you know, when we arrived, we heard a few boos, and we heard some cheers, and I nudged my kids and reminded them that's what freedom sounds like. And but at the end, I did hear what was said from the stage, and I can tell you, I wasn't offended by what was said. I'll leave to others whether that was the appropriate venue to say it, but I do want to say that the basic element, the center of that message, is one that I want to address, and that is I know this is a very disappointing time for people that that did not see their candidate win in this national election. I know this is a very anxious time for some people, and I just want to reassure people that what President-elect Donald Trump said on election night, he absolutely meant from the bottom of his heart. He is preparing to be the president of all of the people of the United States of America. And to watch him bringing together people of diverse views, bringing together people that differed with him strongly, seeing him talk to leaders around the world, I just want to reassure every American that in the days ahead, I'm very confident that they're going to see President-elect Donald Trump and be a president for all of the people. And we embrace that principle, and we're going to work hard to make that principle every day that we serve.
So even if you don't agree with his politics, Mike Pence actually sounds like quite a reasonable guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually believes in what he's
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, but it's bullshit.
He doesn't sound like an idiot.
It's bullshit. It's total bullshit, because if you look at what he's done none of that.
Yeah.
If you happen to be one of those hallucinating guys who think that Mitt Romney is really going to be Secretary of State, I have a bridge I want to sell you in Brooklyn. For fuck's sake.
Are you selling that again?
I'm selling it again. Because it's wishful thinking. And Mike Pence is trying to polish a turd. Because you look at who he's appointed. You look at who's going to be advising him. There's no one in that cabinet. He offered housing and urban development to what's his name? Carson, the other.
A slumlord. Yeah.
But
and he got knocked back.
To Carson. No. Carson didn't want it. Because this is what he said. He said, I'm not sure I know enough to do it yet, but he was okay with running for president.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So, because God told him.
I took a sauna with God. We had a chat.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
We had a drink together. Anyway. So, that's this storm in a D cup, which I think got blown up just to take the heat off the settlement.
Do you think he did that?
The Trump University. Well,
I
don't know
if he did
it intentionally.
Brilliant. Because it blew the Trump University.
People said he did, and of course that put the blowtorch to the belly twice as hot, because people said, "Well, don't miss this story: $25 million settlement for fuck you."
Yeah.
So anyway, it didn't work, but I thought it was an amazing piece of politics, if in fact it was a diversion. As those things often are, but Trump is a walking diversion. He diverts everything from everything.
Yeah. This,
okay.
Go ahead.
To finish off my my rant, I have my usual religious nut job of the week, and this is what this
is.
Is
he on the
we
cabinet?
Have not heard. He may be.
Well, you know,
he may be.
It's still
he
time.
May be. This is an old friend, Jim Bakker.
Jim Bakker went to prison, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, and with Tammy Faye Baker. Well, she didn't go to prison, but she has passed away. So,
oh well,
we won't speak ill
she's,
of the.
She's in hell now.
Heavily eyelined Tammy Faye. But Jim is now back on television with all kinds of people, old politicians and. God bothers and also he has his own TV show, but you know what? It's mainly to sell survival food kits called the Jim Bakker buckets.
Oh, Jesus!
And for $3,500, you get $3,500. You got to see these to believe them. The $3,500, you get these enormous big buckets, I guess of long life food or something that is highly nutritious and will keep you going after the apocalypse. For a long time.
Oh, good.
But anyway.
Place your orders now.
Just for the comedy value of that. Yeah. But,
no, I'm placing my order.
Anyway,
I'm placing my order.
Yeah. Where do you see the slop that's in there? But what I wanted to hear from Jim Bakker about is he decided to tell us exactly what's going to happen to the people who voted for Hillary Clinton,
the blue states,
the blue counties, and they held up a map, and it was all red except for a few patches of blue in Southern California, Arizona, and New York.
Yes.
But the whole rest of the United States was red.
Yes.
And he and his people at the table,
yeah.
This is like The View for radicalized Christians. if you know what I mean.
And it's just as funny. It's just as
yeah.
funny.
So have a listen to my nut job of the week, a good old boy from a long time ago. He's in his 70s yeah. now. He doesn't look anything like the chap who went to prison.
Yeah.
Or sound like him. But this is the man who used to hold America in the palm of his Christian
clammy
hand.
His clammy hand.
And, yeah, and here he is, Jim Baker, with why Trump won and what's going to happen to you for voting against him.
Oh, dear. Here it is, Jim Baker.
If you live in the blue, any yeah. spot that's blue.
Right.
I would say, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Help me.
Help California and Arizona.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Forgive me.
Oh, forgive us, Lord.
Because those are the ones Look who God. Came against That's the will of God in this election.
Now, you've got to understand. And
I just want to tell you, God has spoken to me. I've seen under the ground in Florida and California, especially
in LA.
Uh-huh. And God spoke to me that in Los Angeles alone, there's going to be such an earthquake come.
Yes.
That literally the big buildings will be laying on their sides. All of L.A. is going to collapse, downtown L.A. And that there's going to be, and I believe the West Coast is going to have, how many of those faults and earthquake yeah. zones do they have there in California? Anybody know?
My you know, goodness. And what's interesting about that, California, whenever you even see, and Sasha was the one that actually, from California, made this known to me, that if you look at California, the east mm-hmm. side of California is red by county, mm-hmm. and the west side is blue. Right. And where do all the fault lines, where do all the prophetic words happen to plant themselves? It's on the far west of yeah. the West Coast. Now, it's the blue. Now, you understand, it's not, judgment's not coming then because they voted for Hillary Clinton. It's because they voted for a platform. They voted for a platform that is so incredibly pro-abortion, anti-Bible. Yeah. They voted for a platform that specifically states that they are going to seek a two-state resolution with Israel, saying in the Democratic Party platform that they attempt to divide the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. It's not because they vote Democrat. It's because they vote a platform and what that platform represents.
Right.
There's no way in the natural that even a Christian would vote for Trump after all the dump they put on him. I mean, you know what I mean? They just. But here's what. Trump has surrounded himself
mm-hmm.
with more men and women of the gospel than any human being I've ever seen in my 76 years on the face of this
Amazing.
Earth.
Yes, Randy, it looks like if you voted for Hillary, God's coming for you.
Yeah. But, you know, here's a little bit of irony. They
yeah.
haven't had an earthquake of any significance, even tremors in California, for quite some time.
Yes.
And my mother was already taking things down off the shelves, saying, we're in for the big one. So, yeah. I don't know, touch wood.
It never ceases to amaze me how evangelical Christians are so friggin' bloodthirsty.
Yeah,
because they love the idea,
or they can rationalize anything.
Yeah, God not only won, but God is going to torture and kill anyone who didn't vote for Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
The molester and pussy grabber, because yeah. God likes a pussy grabber.
Yeah.
God likes, I've talked to God. He's good for a little pussy every now and then, yeah, evidently.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's have a break.
Let's have a Kit Kat break.
I've got a treat for you that
yes.
harks back to my rant
yeah.
about Hamilton. It's a good friend of the show, Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has done a wonderful job. He's talked about what I just talked about, but he and his writers have actually come up with the most beautiful parody of the Trump presidency as told through the hip hop of Hamilton.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to go to his little Stephen Colbert. We'll be back with our tinfoil hats for 163 and 1 second, guys.
The whole thing, yeah, what?
Of course, the story that everyone is talking about is Vice President-elect Mike Pence going to see Hamilton. It's surprising he went to Broadway because Pence believes that being on Broadway is a choice that can be cured. And Pence... It's pray away the Broadway, right? That's how it goes. You pray away the Broadway. I believe that's what it's called. Pence got booed when he took his seat, and the cast had a message for Pence during the curtain call.
We, sir, we are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us.
Powerful. And I've been told. Yeah, they get you. You hear that guy say that? Super powerful. And I've been told that Pence really absorbed the message of Hamilton and has pledged to help bring the country back to the 18th century. Good luck. Good luck, sir. Now, I will say that Pence stayed and listened, and afterwards he said he wasn't offended. But Donald Trump was, tweeting, "The theater must always be a safe and special place. The cast of Hamilton was very rude last night to a very good man. Mike Pence, apologize." First of all, Mr. Trump, the only president who gets to complain about the theater is Abraham Lincoln. Second, I don't know, where did you get this idea that the theater is safe? I've seen cats. You think you're safe, but then all the cat people start coming off the stage and try to sit in your lap and crawl up the walls. President Trump, build the fourth wall. And after that, and make Andrew Lloyd Webber pay for it. And after that, a little tweet tirade, Trump tweeted, "The cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated." Okay, stop. Now you've gone too far. You can pull out a NATO. You can round up immigrants. But Hamilton overrated? No. No. You can't say that. It's not over. You can't say it's overrated. It's had a huge cultural impact. It has finally given old white people a way to enjoy rap. And Trump supporters rallied around his tweets calling for a Hamilton boycott to defend Mike Pence. Okay, let me point something out. You can't boycott something you can't get, okay? You can't get into Hamilton, okay? That would be like Hillary Clinton boycotting the inaugural. She doesn't need to. Oh, now, snap. This whole drama was insane. Wow. Donald Trump jumping in to defend his innocent vice president from theater bullies. This will go down in the history books. This is history now.
It's historic.
It's absolutely historic.
That's right.
And future generations of Americans will learn all about it in the form of a hip-hop musical that we are premiering right now. How does an orange bully, son of a bitch, and a con man grabbing with Gary Busey, no taxes evident, grow up to be a hero and the president? Well, the story of my reign starts on the Great White Way with a great white-haired Veep who doesn't like the gay. I always thought the theater was a safe and special place, but when the vice president's in residence, some thugs get up in his face,
cameras blazing, come right at him with their scary tights, blast him bang with a request to protect their rights, stabbing him with rudeness, the cast casting aspersions before Pence can hit him back with some gay conversions. He got a lecture. He got hectored in his tiny little seat. I won't let my beep go down like that. Men, to the tweets. Drop the toilet seat, drop the beat. Thumb so fast, disappearing like my balance sheets. Gonna make the theater safe again and end the lies. Watch this, I'm gonna tweet, apologize, and done. Back to make America great. Hannity, Trumposaurus, who wants Secretary of State?
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, Randy, tinfoil hat time. We're going to have a great year with tinfoil hats, considering...
Oh, are we ever?
There are so many.
You better stock up on a bit of Reynolds wrap.
Well, we're going to be recording every press conference from now on. Okay, what do you got, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you, one of the most fertile grounds for tinfoil hats is the American lawsuit.
Right.
Those litigious little Americans, they'll sue you as soon as look at you.
Yes.
So my tinfoil hat this week is about three guys who decided to sue fast food chain Chipotle because they ate a burrito and they felt too full.
Right.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. They decided to sue because they were too full.
Right.
They felt too full after finishing their burritos. But the point is that the reason they sued was not so much that they felt full. They felt too full for what was listed on the menu as something that only had 300 calories. And they thought, no way could I be full from something that only has 300 calories. It isn't the first time that somebody's had a go at a fast food chain for misrepresenting the nutritional information of their food. And Chipotle came back with, we meant just the meat in there was 300 calories.
The lard that they put with it.
Yeah. Actually, they're very good. I went to Chipotle. They are nutritious. They're beans and rice and cheese. It's salsa.
Yeah.
It's quite tasty.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, imagine suing somebody because you felt too full. I mean, admittedly, yes, you can sue them because the nutritional information is wrong, but their case is they felt too full for 300 calories, which is like an apple and a piece of cheese or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here it would be a couple hundred kilojoules.
Do you have a clip, my friend?
I certainly do, Ollie, and I just have a listen to this, and it pokes fun, but it just shows Americans will sue you over anything.
Over anything.
Yeah.
Over anything. Okay, here it is. Randy's tinfoil hat for 163. I feel too full.
Well, here's something new. It turns out that half-pound burritos do not technically qualify as diet food, no matter what the packaging might tell you. Chipotle Mexican Grill is facing a class action lawsuit from three California customers who are accusing the chain of lying about nutritional information. At issue is the restaurant's new chorizo burrito, which I have not tried, but apparently looks excellent. The menu says it's 300 calories. But according to the complaint, one plaintiff felt, and we're quoting now, excessively full after eating the burrito and realized the item could not have just been 300 calories. Chipotle has not commented on the lawsuit, but previously it responded to baffled customers on Twitter to clarify that the 300 calories is for the chorizo alone, in the same sense that the lettuce on a cheeseburger has fewer calories without the bun, the meat, and the cheese. So how many calories in the entire chorizo burrito? It would be pure speculation, but trust us, more than 300. You don't need a class action suit to know that.
Yeah. I don't agree with Tucker Carlson all that much, but you kind of figure that out. You made yourself fat. And all you people out there ordering three lovely, fantastic cheeseburgers, two orders of fries, and a Diet Coke, get a hold of yourself. You can't sue someone for making you fat. You did that. Look, I'm fat. I did it. Right? And if you believe Mike Pence and don't smoke, you're a fucking idiot. So yeah, I'm with you on this one. Listen, I have one that I have to share with you. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have a wonderful new person who is going to be one of the chief advisors to Donald Trump. He's going to be the national security advisor, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be sorting things out in the Middle East. And I felt oh so fantastic when I happened upon this one. This is from General Flynn, who we talked about earlier in the show. Now, General Flynn, as you know, called by people who've worked with him before, deranged. General Flynn, Michael Flynn, got in front of a microphone and started talking about Islam. Now, as you know, Islam is a very large religion. Billions of people are Islamic. I know people who are Muslim. Not all of them are crazy. In fact, a very, very small percentage of them are part of the rebellion sects of Islam that are causing the most of the problem. Hasn't really occurred to General Flynn, who got in front of a microphone and opened his pie hole, and this leaked out. Here you go. Sleep well, America. Here it is.
Islam is a political ideology. It is a political ideology. It definitely hides behind this notion of it being a religion. And I have a very, very tough time because I don't see a lot of people screaming Jesus Christ with hatchets or machetes or rifles shooting up clubs or hatcheting, you know, literally axing families on a train. Or like they just killed a couple of police officers with a machete. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we have a problem. It's like cancer. Okay, I've gone through cancer in my own life. Okay, so it's like cancer, and it's like a malignant cancer though in this case that has metastasized. So like I just said, in the number of attacks in 22 countries in just the last 45 days. I mean, when I look back over the last, you know, 10 years or 15 years of my life and the things that I've seen and the things that I've witnessed against this very vicious threat.
Yes, Randy. Mm. So just for our own edification, let's just replace Muslims or Islam with Jews.
Yeah. Or Christians, for that matter.
Or Christian. By the way, when he talks about Christians not being violent, you're forgetting the Crusades.
You know, you're forgetting Timothy McVeigh.
You're forgetting Hitler, who was a Christian, who how many killed? Oh, 10 million or so.
Yeah.
Evidently, we're just peaceful. All the Christians, no problem. No problem. Even those who basically are looking forward to the entire West Coast sinking into the fucking sea. They're not violent. Not like all the Muslims. But think about this. Replace Muslims with Jews. Now, if I got up on a stand and sat there and said, the Jewish religion is a cancer, I would be very worried about, you know, trains and showers.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this guy is basically saying that all of Islam is a political organization.
Cancer,
political cancer, and not a religion.
Yeah.
Now, that'll be news to all the people who I teach who are Muslim, or it'll be news to all the friends I have that are Muslim. But Mike Pence is advocating total race hatred.
Yeah.
Openly. Total
religion hatred.
Total religion hatred.
Yeah, Lieutenant General Flynn is a jerk.
Well, no, he's also the national security advisor to this country. So each
Possibly.
Well, no, he will be. And basically, if you think there's going to be a kinder, gentler Trump, you have to look at the people he's putting into key positions in his administration.
But they haven't. Don't they have to be confirmed? Even as cabinet ministers?
National security advisor, I don't believe so. No. Ugh.
And so Condoleezza Rice and all those people that came before, just walked in. They didn't have to be
confirmed.
Well,
even if they do have to be confirmed, and that's a good point. I might have to check that. But you know, the thing is that the Republicans run both houses, the Senate and the Congress. So
and if he appoints and if he's allowed to appoint the ninth Chief Justice, he will, for the first time since 1928, control both houses, the administration and the Supreme Court.
That's right.
Now, what happened in 1928?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the worst depression the world ever knew.
Ever knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we hate to be, you know, our ratings are going to go down because we're not going to be funny as much anymore. But,
well, we will be. We'll try.
It's hard to be funny about this. But Mike Pence, can I have the cheer squad in? Mike Pence! Hey! Mike Pence!
No! General Flynn!
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep saying Mike Pence. Oh, sorry. General Flynn. General Flynn. You're a wackadoodle. You're crazy.
And our tinfoil hat for the week.
Yeah, you are a fucking great tinfoil hat, mate, and we're going to be getting to know General Flynn for another 4 years. Trust me, it's going to be fun. Yeah. That's all we have time for.
Oh, I was just beginning to enjoy that.
Yeah, oh, God, this has been fun. Listen, if you want to listen to us, ladies and gentlemen, we're available, as you know, on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want to show Stitcher Radio. Excuse me, I'm going to cough here. I need a cough button.
You do.
And I don't have
one.
We're on iTunes, ladies and gentlemen. You can reach us on iTunes. And by the way, if you want to sponsor us, we'd really like it, because then I can get a microphone with a cough button. Because we are looking to finance the show, so just go to thebillshow.net, thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. Pick out the patron button and just throw us whatever you can on a monthly basis to help us keep this alive. We've been doing it since 2011, bringing you stories and hopefully stuff that you don't know. So have a look at that. And we'd love it. We're also blogging now on the Daily Kos. Yeah, we're blogging on the Daily Kos.
Yeah, that's great. Bill, you're my hero.
Oh, no, you. We've got a few up there right now. One I did on Bernie Sanders that evidently caused a bit of a ruckus, where I told people not to blame Bernie Sanders, and a lot of people shouted at me as being a bastard. You know, of course he's to blame. We wouldn't want to take the blame for the election ourselves. No.
Oh, look, water off a duck's back.
So that's
Teflon Bill. Let me just call you Teflon Bill.
Yeah, that's Teflon Bill. The Bill Show, the Week in Politics on the Daily Kos, and we will be back next fortnight for our annual get together between you, me, and everyone, as we watch the flowering of a great Trump administration. So until next time, let's sing our song, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll meet again.
Here we go. Happy trails to you. Happy trails to you.
Happy trails,
until
Randy.
Bye-bye, Bill. We'll see you next time.
Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails.